I'm Lee Blue, and this is Double Stack, where WordPress freelancers discover the tech stack and the business development stack to become high-value, sought-after WordPress consultants. So if you're tired of burning yourself out with those high-stress, low-budget projects, and you're ready to start working with clients you love at the rates you're really worth, then you're in the right place. All of this is 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast. Three approaches to WordPress development and what each path means for your career and for your business. That's what we're talking about today. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is because there are so many people out there wondering, what's a good path? Like, I want to get started in WordPress development. I want to run my own business, or maybe they want to work at an agency or whatever it might be. And they're wondering, what are the skills that I need to develop, and what is the future of developing those types of skills in terms of the kinds of jobs that you can be getting, in terms of the kinds of the business that you can operate, the type of money that you can be making from it all. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, because the surprising thing is it's not a linear approach to everything. So it's not like you start out just kind of scratching the surface on WordPress, and then you kind of escalate into doing more things, and then the next thing you know, you're onboarding these really high-ticket long-term clients. It doesn't really work like that, and I wish that somebody had told me that up front so that I would be, more prepared to really plan the kind of future that I was looking for with regard to building my business. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. And so I'm going to go through three different approaches to WordPress development. And as we're going through each one, we're going to be basically I'll define what I'm talking about with each approach, and then give some examples of what that looks like, why you might want to take this path, and what kind of outcome you can experience if that's the path you choose for your business. Now, right off the bat, I believe that all three approaches that we're about to discuss are legitimate approaches, and there's a place for every single one of them, but they're not all the same value, right? Like, some, we're going to be talking about things that are much higher value than others, whereas and some things that seem like they'd be high value, but they're really not as high as you might think. So that's kind of the outline. If you have any questions, if you're kind of chiming in here and you want to say hello or wave or send a high five, boop, I appreciate the thumbs ups already. Feel free to do that. You can click on that little Ecamm Live link there, and that will connect me so I can see your name if you want to share that. I'm using Ecamm for this presentation. So otherwise, if you just leave a comment, I'll see the comment, but I won't see your name associated with it. So I wanted to mention that for you. So let's dive into it. So there's basically three approaches, and I'm going to start kind of at the bottom and work our way up in terms of the monetary value that you can experience from various types of WordPress development. And the first one is kind of like the implementer approach. And this is the kind of person who is able to like install some themes, you can tweak the layout, you can add plugins, you can mash up different things together. And even with this concept of being an implementer without really writing any code or having any strong, like from scratch development skills, you can still build some really nice websites for people, even doing a better job than somebody might be able to do if on their own or on Wix or something like that. And there's a legitimate place in the WordPress economy for people implementing websites. Now, you're not going to make as much money implementing websites as you would with some of these other approaches that we're going to be talking about, but here's the thing. So, like, here's some examples of people that I would consider to be implementers, and then we're going to talk about why you might want to choose this path and what kind of outcome you can experience. And so, examples would be like people that are on Upwork who are selling like these, $200, $500, whatever, these really low budget websites. I've even seen ads for like $50. I'll build you a WordPress site for $50, and clearly they're not writing any code or doing anything. They're just kind of mashing some stuff together and sending it off. And but here's some other ideas, like helping a friend. Like, maybe you've got somebody, like my daughter has a piano teacher who needed a website. And, I could have implemented a WordPress site for her. Instead, we didn't. Instead, I thought that she'd be better served with a Wix website. So I just referred her over there so she could manage it herself. But that's the kind of a thing. Somebody has a site that they need for just kind of a small family need or something. And, you can help out a friend and just implement a site. You don't have to build a custom theme. You don't need any custom plugins. You don't have to do anything crazy with security for e-commerce, anything like that. You just put a site together. And that's really helpful for a lot of people. And it's also a lot of fun. And so so I don't want to downplay the concept of the WordPress implementer, which oftentimes kind of gets a lot of hate or whatever on the internet. You know, you're not really building a website, you're just implementing. But here's the thing. That's the point. The point is to be able to implement a website, to help people out, to get something online in a platform that you own, that you can control. If you want to expand further later on down the road, you can get additional help or learn more things on your own to do that. And starting out kind of implementing websites is a great thing to do. And, you know, you can make a side job out of it. You can get some extra money on the side. Now, I wouldn't recommend just like running your whole business off of just implementing WordPress websites, because you're not going to make enough money to do that, because you're competing against so many low-cost alternatives. You're competing against free oftentimes, you know, like the example with the Wix website. But it can also be fun. Like, so if it's a side job, you can help somebody out. You can do something that's fun and make a little money at it at the same time. That's a really nice approach to building WordPress sites, just kind of implementing them and kind of, because the ecosystem is more powerful now than ever before. And even people who consider themselves just WordPress implementers today, they're doing the kind of work that, you know, legitimate developers were doing like 10 or 15 years ago. You know, just getting forms online, you know, maybe even selling a little product here and there. You can pretty much pull all that together without really having to dig into code or anything meaningful with regard to like creating things from scratch. And so the outcome of that would be you're having some fun, making a little side money if you want to kind of sell some of those services, learning about the WordPress kind of ecosystem and the culture, maybe going to some WordCamps, making some good friends, you know. That's a fun lifestyle to be in, a part of, and it's fun and it's helpful. So that's kind of level one, and it's also the catalyst for doing, you know, one of these other two approaches. The second approach is the WordPress developer, and what I mean by the developer is people who are writing code, they're creating plugins from scratch, they're building custom themes. Sometimes you can even package like application logic and really in-depth functionality into the theme itself, which is really an interesting thing that I've actually been part of several kind of in-depth debates as to where should you put all of the functionality when you're creating like an app for a specific client. Like, not to resell a theme, but like if you're creating an app inside of WordPress, you know, where do you put each piece of the functionality? Like, where does, you know, what goes in plugins, what goes in the theme, how do you split that up? Anyway, all that is to say, those are discussions that developers have, because you're writing code, you're writing maybe some PHP code, maybe some CSS code, definitely some JavaScript, like Gutenberg, and everything's all built on React. And so, you know, diving into that, you know, really getting into, connecting with the WordPress API, you know, figuring out how to solve all kinds of really cool problems by being a WordPress developer. And so when I say the word developer, I mean people that are writing code, doing really technical stuff. And here's some examples. So I built the Cart 66 WordPress plugin like 10 years ago. And that's what I would consider like a development project, because at the time there was only two other WordPress plugins on the market, both of which were geared towards having you create like a catalog type of store, like an Amazon store, like lots of products, organize the products into categories and catalogs, maybe sort them alphabetically or sort them by price or whatever. And that just was not at all what I was trying to do. I was trying to sell one set of headphones. I keep trying to remember to bring the headphones, but I don't have them with me right now. But I had one set of headphones that I was trying to sell, and I've talked about this a couple of times, and this is really my introduction into WordPress at large, was creating this e-commerce plugin so I could sell these headphones. I met this guy, John, you know, long story or whatever, but I was buying crates of his headphones wholesale and trying to sell them online somehow, and I chose WordPress as the platform. And this was before WooCommerce or any of the other stuff was even created. And so I created, you know, I just wanted to put a product on a page and sell it. I didn't need to organize it, you know, into catalogs or categories. I didn't need to sort by price or popularity. I had one product, and it came either black or white, and the cord, the headphone cord, was either like, I think, 3 feet or 6 feet or something. There's two different lengths of cords, and that was it. So I had two options: color, cord size, one headphone thing. And I just wanted to like, but what I wanted to do though was wherever I was talking about the product, I wanted people to be able to buy it. So I didn't have really the concept of a product page even, because the whole website was the product page. So if I was blogging about what a decibel sounds like, because these headphones reduce noise by 29 decibels. So what does that sound like? What does that sound like in your house? What does that sound like in your office? What does it sound like in a language lab or a recording studio or outside if you're trying to like cut the grass while you're listening to music or something? And so I wanted people to know what the experience of using the headphones would be like. And as I was talking about a particular scenario, I wanted to put a buy now button and just boom, let people buy the product. And then, and that type of feature or functionality was not available in the WordPress ecosystem at the time. So I created it. And that's what a developer does. You find that there's something that's missing, or a new perspective on something that's already out there, and you want to, you know, inject your thoughts and your opinions into the way something works. And so you create it and develop that. And that's an example. Another example of what a developer might be interested in doing. And the reason I want to go through these examples is to see if these are the types of things that really resonate with you and energize you and make you feel excited about the work that you're doing, then being a WordPress developer is going to be the path that you want to take. And we'll talk about how to take that in just a second. But another example is like implementing new ways to process payments. Because the next step from when I created Cart 66, I was selling my headphones, and it became increasingly evident that payment security, like how do you process a credit card payment securely in a way that's, you know, PCI compliant and everything, that became a really big need at the time. And so so then the question became, well, how do you do it? Like, and so, you know, hosting was an issue, SSL certificates were an issue, disabling insecure protocols like FTP was a thing that you have to do for PCI compliance. And so I was noticing as people were buying the Cart 66 plugin, which at the time was just a plugin, where people would say, hey, you know, what do I do about payment security? And so there was another opportunity for development. So we created secure connected services. We're the first people to do that. And we made these like secure hosted payment pages. And so that one page of your website was kind of hosted external from your WordPress site, so that people would shop on the WordPress site, build the cart, you know, like add the products to the cart there. And then when it's time to pay, they would go over to this other one page, just the checkout page that was hosted on the secure, like crazy secure hosted PCI compliant server. And we developed this really cool technology that we called Page Slurp, which you like click a button in the admin and it will suck up your WordPress theme and skin that secure page, that secure checkout page, with your WordPress theme. So it looks exactly like the rest of your site, even though we are hosting that one page, so that you don't have to worry about SSL certificates and PCI compliance and separating all the different stuff out so that you have this really secure page. Then people pay, and then boom, boom, they go back to the WordPress site to see the receipt. And that was a new perspective that just made it so people didn't even have to think about PCI compliance with regard to their website, because they were using a hosted payment page that connected with, I think we connected with like almost 80, maybe even over 100 different payment gateways. And so, and that was a huge thing. And being able to use your creativity to recognize a problem and then use your coding skills to solve that problem in a way that generates a really great outcome for people, that's the idea behind being a developer. That's what developers do. Another example, you know, especially right now with Gutenberg that's just come out, we've got this new editor in WordPress. Gutenberg has the concept of blocks built into it, and people are getting pretty creative in as to how to use those blocks to create really neat pieces of functionality. And if you have an idea, then you can dive into some JavaScript code, create a block, and, you know, connected in with the WordPress API and be able to really do some cool stuff. You have to be a WordPress developer to do that. And there you go. Of course, other possibilities would be creating add-ons for existing plugins. Like if you've got a WooCommerce site and it doesn't do something that you want it to do, you can create an add-on to WooCommerce or an add-on to some of the other plugins that are out there that are almost what you want, but not quite, so you make an add-on. So that's another example of things that you can do as a developer. And building custom plugins to solve problems. So even if you wanted to build a plugin, but not to sell it to anybody, you just had a client who needed a particular need. And so I've built a bunch of custom plugins for clients in the past. A couple of examples, even for myself, I built this one plugin. So I'm in a band, and you know, when the band gets together, then what we usually do to kind of organize our practice sessions is instead of bringing out like the full like sheet music with the notes and the staves and the measures and all that stuff, we do chords and lyrics. So we write the lyrics on a piece of paper, and then right above the lyrics where you change chords, we'll just write the chords that you play over top of those lyrics. But the problem was sometimes the guitarist, like I play the guitar and I sing and everything. I'll try to sing best I can, but like guitarists and vocalists and so forth, like me, like when I'm playing the guitar, sometimes I'll put a capo on the guitar. So I'm playing chord shapes that are different from actual names of the chords. Somehow I'm not trying to get into music theory, but the whole idea is like a guitarist will use a capo, and the capo changes the key that the song is in while you're still playing the same chord shapes with your fingers. Whereas if you're on a piano or like a bass guitar or a cello or a violin or something, they don't have capos. And so it's oftentimes you want to transpose the song. You want to shift the chords from what the chords look like to what they actually sound like. And so different members in the band are going to be playing different chord names by the chord shape. Anyway, all that is to say, I developed this plugin so that you could easily create a sheet of music like that. You could write out the lyrics, you could put the chords above the lyrics, there was a button to transpose to any key that you wanted, and then I could just send links to everybody in the band. They download a PDF that's in the key that they need with the chords and lyrics, and it was awesome. Didn't exist before, was super helpful. I use it to this day. The name of the plugin was Chords WP, and it's fantastic. And that's what you can do as a WordPress developer. So you can write code that creates, you know, special functionality that's kind of unique. It's not a whole lot of people really need to be doing that kind of stuff. And so anyway, that's another thing. Another example is I was working with a contractor who does like paving. They make like patios and different kinds of outside construction work around your house. And they needed a shop in their store because they had all of these different contractors going around like laying out patios and things like that. And they wanted the contractors to be able to wear their brand on their shirts and on their hats and on their jackets if it was cold or whatever. And so what they would do is they created the special members area in their website where the contractors could go and basically buy stuff for free, like, or I guess maybe request, like, they, you know, we've got a team of six people. Can you send us six t-shirts with your logo on it and everything? And but the thing was, you couldn't just check out and get all the stuff. The whole thing had to go through this approval process where they would see like how active of a contractor you were and if you were really doing enough business and whatever, and if the order that you were placing was reasonable for the size team that you had. So you couldn't order like 50,000 t-shirts for a 3-person team or whatever. So it went through this approval process. And so you couldn't really use WooCommerce for it. Cart66 wasn't a good solution for it either. You really needed something custom for that because everything was free. You didn't have to pay for anything, but you still had to go through this approval process to get the stuff out of it, and to get your order process and so forth. And different people in the approval team had to like sign off on different kinds of products. Anyway, so it was kind of a complicated situation, but it worked really well with WordPress because WordPress brought to the table user accounts and easy to edit pages and a lot of different features that were necessary to pull this off, but they still needed this really custom shopping approval experience. And so a custom plugin was fantastic for that, even though it was just for one client. It's not like a resellable plugin. Nobody else would really need it. And so a WordPress developer is going to be, that's the kind of role that a developer would take, you know, solving those types of problems. And so why would you be a developer? So one of the reasons why is because you love diving into that kind of stuff and making those kinds of solutions for people. And you love to focus on technology, and you don't want to worry about managing clients. You just want to be, you know, to see a problem, implement technology to solve that problem. And then somebody else, you know, there's like a project manager or something involved that would kind of manage the relationship between you as the developer and, you know, the ultimate business client that's actually going to be using what you create. And so if that's the kind of idea that you want to really pursue, then being like a WordPress developer is the way to go. And if you get good at it and you become accomplished, like, I mean, when I first graduated from college with a computer science degree, everybody told me, hey, if you can write code, if you can do this kind of stuff, you'll write your ticket anywhere. And at the time, it was pretty much true. And like, you know, being able to write code gave me so many opportunities to have great jobs, startup companies, all kinds of great stuff. And but today it's a little bit different than it was back then, because there's all this kind of prefabricated stuff that you can mash up together. So you don't have to have somebody that can write code to build a really nice website. Like we just talked about the implementer idea. You can build awesome websites, even selling stuff, without ever writing any code. But if you want to write code to solve new problems, that's the concept of a developer. And so we've talked about, you know, what it is and why you might want to do it. What's the outcome of being a WordPress developer today? Well, that's an interesting point, because there's a couple of things to consider. First of all, if you go on to like any sort of a recruiting board or look at job surveys to kind of see, well, what's the salary of a WordPress developer versus like a Ruby on Rails developer or anything like that. And the idea that's really shocking behind it is, usually if you kind of say whatever kind of development you do and then you tack the word WordPress onto your title, you kind of cut your pay by like 30%. And so I think a lot of the reason for that is, you know, implementers, like we talked about before, will oftentimes call themselves WordPress developers, even though they don't write code. So there's a little ambiguity with what these jobs actually mean when they say WordPress developer. But the other thing is, if you do a good job and you are good at what you do and you can like really use your creativity and your coding skills to solve problems, you can make a pretty good living. And I would say, you know, kind of across the United States, which is, you know, that's what I know about. I live in Virginia. And so in Virginia or Florida or New York or California or Texas or you know, somewhere like around Chicago, you know, there's a lot of really great places to be a developer where you can make a lot of money at it. And I would say on average, you could expect to make like $80,000 per year. You know, obviously some people make a little more, some other people make less, but you know, that's kind of a pretty good salary. And you're developing these strong skills that really help people. And that's kind of an outcome that you can expect. Like if you really dig in and you've got maybe a couple of years of experience as a developer and you're good at it, you can expect to make about $80,000, maybe $70,000, $75,000, somewhere between $50,000 and $100,000 a year. I would say 100 is probably on the high side. I think it's rare that WordPress developers make money at that level. But you know, 75, 80K per year, I think that's reasonable. And so how do you get a job like that? And so, you know, the way that I would suggest doing it would be, instead of building your own business as a WordPress developer, which I'll talk about in just a second, what's the problem with that? But instead of doing that, you know, connect in with a recruiter and, you know, and tell them that you've got skills, that you can do React and you do PHP and you've got experience with like the LAMP stack and things like, you know, Linux and Apache and MySQL and PHP. And, you know, you've got maybe some Unix experience or whatever, or Linux command line experience. And, you know, server management is another thing that a developer always has to be mindful of. You can't just write the code only. You have to be mindful of where it's going to be deployed, how it's going to be run, you know, what kind of platforms are involved. You know, those are some things that developers worry about. And so put that on your resume, that you have experience in certain areas, and then connect in with the recruiter and get in front of these people that need you, like agencies or even the government. Like I had a contract at the Virginia Department of Health right when I got out of college doing bioterrorism surveillance and it wasn't with WordPress, but I was using my coding skills to monitor the health records in hospitals all up and down the East Coast to figure out if there's any anomalies in these emergency reports. And if there were, What are the anomalies? And does that mean anything? This is back when like anthrax was a thing and the avian bird flu was an issue. And so like if there was a bunch of dead birds somewhere, or even worse, if there was a whole bunch of like respiratory illnesses coming in New York City or something like that, then the code that I wrote monitored that stuff and sent out alerts to let people know, hey, maybe there's an anthrax scare or something like that going on in New York. And so So that's the kind of way you get those jobs. You get either you apply directly because you find an opportunity, or you get connected with a recruiter and then they put you in that position. Here's what not to do though. So if you ask me, what not to do is don't try to make a business for yourself, like a self-run business as a WordPress developer. And I know it's a kind of a controversial thing. If you want to do it, try it yourself. But here's my opinion on that and why it doesn't work. It doesn't work for a couple of reasons. First, you have the feast or famine problem. And what that means is, especially with larger scale projects, that you get a project, it's like this $50,000 project. It takes you, you know, most of the year to do it. But you can't, you know, you can't be onboarding other clients while you're doing all that work. And so you do that huge project. And then, you know, at the end of it, there's nothing left, and there's this long famine period until you find the next large project. And that makes for such a stressful lifestyle, because, you know, because the feast side, like, you have two different projects where you really feel like you want to do both of them, but you can't because you're tapped out. That's stressful. And even worse than that is you finish the project and then there's nothing else to do until you can somehow find another one of these large scale projects and kind of build something out from there. And so what ends up happening is, just to kind of make ends meet, you end up accepting kind of crappy, low-paying jobs to kind of fill the gaps in that famine mode, and it's frustrating, and you feel undervalued, and it's just not a good situation. So I don't recommend trying to be like a solopreneur as a WordPress developer because of that reason. Other reasons are, if you don't like managing clients, that's another thing. A lot of times developers really just like doing the code, writing, involving themselves in the technology, and then, you know, explaining what they did to some project manager, and then you let the project manager handle the clients, right? Do that, and then you don't have to worry about handling clients. And most of these people that are really interested in development, they don't want to do it, they don't like doing it, they don't really like writing proposals, their interpersonal skills, you know, you tend to get really frustrated because, you know, the communication barrier between people that know a lot about technology and people that aren't so tech savvy, you know, dealing with that. I mean, that's why you have project managers in the first place. So, you know, it's usually fairly rare for somebody to have both sets of skills, where they're awesome at interpersonal skills, project management, that kind of stuff, and like doing it, mind you, and also like doing the coding. And so that's going to set you up, like, if you have to do stuff you don't like and that you're not good at, it's going to be hard to onboard clients. And if you can't onboard the clients, you can't exercise your skills. And if you can't do that, you're not running a business. You're not making any money. You've got no clients. So that's another reason why a WordPress developer is not really the best business path to take when it comes to just trying to start your own business. Another one is, it's really, really difficult to win clients while building out large projects, which is what we talked about before, because you're so busy doing all the work that you don't have time to go out there and search for the next project because you're coding on the project you've already got. And so you have to be very, very mindful of not overbooking your actual workday so that you can have some time each week at least to get out in the community and start talking to people. And then when they say yes, you know, let's work together, then you still have to say, you know what, I can't start until, you know, sometime way out in the future, which of course makes it even harder to land those clients. So that's another reason. And then the last reason that being a WordPress developer is really, really hard to do on your own is it's hard to win these high ticket projects because clients don't really trust that you're going to be around for the long haul, right? Like, if it's just you, like, what happens if you get sick and you can't show up for whatever reason, or you have to move, or you decide to take another job, or whatever happens, you know, they're putting all of their eggs in one really small basket with one person in it. And that's a big risk. So if you're asking somebody to invest, you know, $25,000 or $50,000 or $100,000 on these large development projects, and they're putting all of that on you, and that's a big ask. That's a big ask. And so, and for that reason, it's difficult to charge the rates that you're really worth compared to what it would be like if you were in an agency, which kind of by its very nature seems to be more stable and more long-lasting than a single, like, developer freelancer. And so, so all that is to say that trying to win these long-term, high-value projects as a freelance developer or a single solopreneur developer is really hard. You got the feast or famine problem. It's difficult to manage the clients. It's difficult to find new clients while you're building out the projects you've already got. And it's difficult to onboard new clients because of that trust factor of asking them to put everything on your shoulders. And then, and who knows, even if you're trying to do the best you can, you know, what if... You know, what if for whatever reason you catch the flu or whatever and you miss a deadline, there's nobody to back you up? Or what if you want to go on vacation, right? Like, what if you want to take a trip somewhere for a week or two? What is your client supposed to do while you're out on the beach or whatever if something goes wrong? So that's a really stressful problem to have as a solopreneur kind of developer. So instead of fighting those battles, instead get connected with recruiters or government projects or larger agencies and kind of get onboarded where there's somebody to back you up, you know, so you don't have to be on call 24/7 and you're going to have a much easier time just kind of doing that. So if you want to be a developer, that's the kind of path that I would take. Now, here's the third one. And the third one is what I would think of as the most exciting time in all of the internet history, because you don't have to be a full-blown agency to make agency kind of money and to have agency kind of impact on your clients. And this is what I call the business consultant slash, you know, technical person. So this is the person who has technical skills in two different areas. You have technical skills with regard to like building out a website, with regard to maybe some design, maybe some technical skills with photography or maybe videography. You know, the ability to create an online presence that really matters for somebody. You know, setting up a Facebook page, connecting in with YouTube, connecting with email marketing platforms, being able to create landing pages and drip campaigns and sales funnels, e-commerce, you know, all of those types of things, having those kinds of tech skills without having to write any code, mind you. Like you don't have, so this is kind of more like the implementer idea, except for to the max. Like you have a lot of skills, both with like design-oriented outcomes and with business-oriented outcomes. So what I mean by that is with design-oriented outcomes, I mean you're really good at creating websites that look fantastic, look professional. With business-oriented outcomes, I mean you've got skills to help your clients, you know, increase their brand visibility, to connect in and win more customers for their business, or to raise their prices, or to help educate about what they're doing, to really reach their audience in a segmented way. So you're sending the right information to the right people at the right time, and you've got technical tools in place to facilitate that. You're helping them automate lead nurturing. You're helping them have more of an impact with their offline interactions by implementing online tools to kind of help follow up with those offline meetings, like face-to-face meetings, that kind of thing. Those types of technical tools, and you also have the business vision, right? You have the vision to see of, you know, the direction that your client should be moving if they want to make an impact for themselves online. So there's a business consulting side and there's a technical side without really having to write a whole lot of code in the process. And so, or really any code, because the thing that's so exciting is the WordPress ecosystem is so incredibly powerful right now, more so than ever before, because all that stuff that used to be hard, like we were talking about before, like especially in the context of a developer, it's like hosting, problem solved. Backups, problem solved. Staging environments that you can easily deploy to a live server, problem solved. All of payment security, problem solved. Multi-page forms, problem solved. You know, like where you have one form and then it kind of goes to another form. Putting logic into those forms so that, you know, different questions show up depending on what people answer. Problem solved. Connecting with your website to an email marketing system that's easy to use. Problem solved. All these problems have been solved that used to legitimately require developers to connect all that stuff together. You don't have to have the developers anymore. And so this is, you know, this kind of business consultant slash technical developer is really what was where I feel like the biggest opportunity is. And the interesting thing about that is it's not a sequential thing. It's not like you start out as an implementer, then you become a developer, and then you become one of these business consultant slash technical consultants at the same time. You don't do it really that way. If you can do it, I sort of did it that way. I sort of started out as the developer, moved more into like the WordPress implementer, used my development skills to then, you know, create e-commerce platforms and all kinds of other stuff, and then became more of a business consultant, onboarding clients and so forth, and building out my business and so forth. But it took 17 years to pull it off. If you don't want to do it in 17 years, you want to just kind of have a fast track to pulling this together, you don't have to do all of those types of things. Instead, what you can do, you can say, hey, you know what? If you're interested in being a developer, dive into that and get a job doing those types of things and save yourself all of the heartache that comes with realizing that there's, you know, the feast or famine problem. You don't like managing clients. It's hard to win these projects. You know, the trust factor we talked about. You know, you can avoid those issues and get, you know, great jobs doing WordPress work or any kind of coding work for a group, for some sort of an entity, so it's not all on you to support and maintain and win clients and manage clients and all that stuff. You have help with that. And instead, so basically what it comes down to is you can start out like as an implementer, and then so that's kind of like up here at the top. And then if you decide that you really like the writing the code, you can kind of go down this one path here, and now you're a developer. If on the other side, you're like, you know what? I really like working with clients and using my vision and my leadership and connecting in and helping people grow their businesses, you can go down this other path that is this business consultant / WordPress developer. And when I use WordPress developer in that context, I don't mean writing code and plugins. I mean putting together both the graphical design side and the business objective side with regard to technical tools. And so that's where you can make the most money, and you can do it on your own. You don't have to have a whole team behind you in order to pull all that off, because all the tools are right there for you. And so right now, I would say probably anybody watching this video, if you wanted to put or listening to this podcast, if you're checking it out on the podcast or whatever, or watching it on YouTube, it's there too. So anybody checking this out right now, I bet that you could make $5,000 to $10,000 per month on a consistent basis using this third concept, the business consultant / technical developer or technical skill set person. And so that's why I put together the double stack program. That's what the double stack actually is. It's two things. There's two areas of focus. There's the tech stack. There's the business development stack. The tech stack part is, let's make sure that you've got the technical tools in your toolbox that both drive graphical, you know, like design and brand outcomes, so things look really professional, and that the technical tools that drive business outcomes, like we talked about, like drip campaigns, landing pages, sales funnels, you know, nurturing leads, you know, empowering your offline face-to-face meetings with online tools, with increasing brand visibility, with building, you know, social proof for your clients, you know, helping them with their social media accounts, that kind of stuff. Let's make sure that you've got a really strong skill set when it comes to technical tools. And by the way, again, it does not require creating the tools. Developers do that. You know, what I'm talking about here with your tech stack, you don't need to actually write the code for it. Now, I'll show you some stuff. I'll show you how to tweak some CSS so that you feel in control of your themes and you know what's going on. But you don't have to create anything. You don't have to really be a coder in that sense. But instead, you just get this really nice set of tech skills. Once you have that, then we work on the business development stack. And this is where we really dive into making an intentional pursuit of the clients you can serve the best. And I know that's a short sentence, but it's got four things packed into it. It's the intentionality, meaning like, let's put some forethought into who you want to work with, because the idea behind this is to develop these long-term, high-value relationships with your clients, and you want to make sure that, you know, those the clients that you're working with are people doing things that you like doing and that energize you. And so when you wake up, you're like, boom, I'm going to go to work today and help people do awesome stuff. And so, so you've got the business development stack in place in addition to your technical stack, and when you put those two things together, you're going to show up in a new way with leadership, with confidence, with integrity, with the genuine desire to help your clients grow their businesses. And when you do it that way, what you're going to find is you have the ability to make a lot more money than you would if you were just implementing or just being a developer. And that's a really important factor to consider, because if you're trying to run a business where you're making, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 per month in order to be able to just kind of live your life and to stay afloat and to kind of hit your kind of the income goals that you have for yourself, it's important to consider what kind of work you're doing and are you on the right path to doing it and how long does it take to get there. And so so what I'm suggesting is, if you put the tech stack together with the business development stack, you can get to the point where you're making $5,000 to $10,000 per month. Let's just start it at 5K. You can add $5,000 per month to your income within a month or two, you know, within a couple of weeks oftentimes. And so it's really, really quick to get there. In fact, we were just talking to Charlie the other day in this very Facebook group. He and I have been working together, and I think he probably onboarded maybe $25,000 of new clients in like 6 weeks by making the shift, by becoming the kind of person who not only can do technical things, but has the business vision behind it, has the ability to onboard these clients with genuine care by serving them, not just selling stuff to them. And And that's a really big and important point to me, because when you're selling technical services, you're going to find it's increasingly difficult to onboard long-term high-value clients because nobody really wants the technical services. They only want the outcomes that come from having implemented those things effectively. And so my encouragement is focus on those outcomes, not the actual services. And when you're selling things, it looks like this. You create a website and you list all the different kinds of things that you can do, right? You can do branding, you can do SEO work, you can build WordPress sites, you can whatever, you know, list all your services, whatever you know how to do, put it on the website, and then hope somebody looks at the website and says, yeah, you know what, I really need some SEO help, and they buy one of the things that you're selling. That's what selling looks like. And that's you're going to find that the price points are lower, the clients are more demanding, the jobs are more stressful because clients are nitpicking and they're freaking out on you all the time. It attracts kind of low budget, cheap clients oftentimes. And it's really not the way to go today. It worked pretty well a few years ago, but today things have really shifted and that doesn't work very well anymore because there's so many people doing that. Like if you're a business owner, you want a logo, go into Upwork and pay somebody $100 for one, or go into 99 Designs, or go on somewhere and connect in with people that are overseas that can afford to work for way less and still do really great work. And so if that's all you're looking for is just a logo, then you can get that really, really cheap. And so if you're out there trying to just sell like SEO work or content management work or content marketing or social media management or something that like a VA could do for like $5 an hour, you're going to have a hard time charging $100 an hour for that kind of work. And so instead of doing that, you know, focus on these outcomes and make these larger packages that really solve people's needs. And that's where serving comes in. Serving says, hey, you know what? Nothing is for sale until I'm confident that what I can do is really going to help you achieve the goals that you're after. And so let's talk about what that is. If it sounds like this is going to be a good fit for both of us, then we'll talk about working together. And then you make an offer that's going to be a transformational one. Like nobody has transformed their business because they started changing the colors of their website, or they put on a new theme, or they changed their brand or whatever. Those are just incremental tiny shifts. You know, in order to transform the business, you know, use all of your experience and all of the techniques that you have and the fullness of your tech stack, the vision that you bring to the table, all of those types of things, bring all of that to the table and really drive business outcomes for your clients. And when you do it that way, you are going to find that this double stack concept, like the business consultant concept / technical implementer person, you know, where you have the ability to create the vision for your clients and you have the technical chops to pull off the stuff that you're talking about, that makes you a very high value asset for business owners, and it's fundamentally going to set you apart from everybody else. That's the key. That's the legitimate key, because when you show up delivering a level of success that goes beyond what your clients are able to come up with on their own, that's the differentiating factor for why they need to work with you. That's why they're not going to build a Wix site on their own. That's why they're not going to hire somebody from Upwork. That's why they're not going to pay somebody, you know, way less than what you're charging. In other words, this is why you can charge 5 to 10 times more than everybody else without pricing yourself out of the market, because you are not offering what they are offering. You're not offering to sell technical services. You're offering to come alongside and serve clients to your fullest ability to drive the kinds of results and outcomes that they really want. And those outcomes are going to be at a much higher level than they would otherwise be able to make had it not been for you. So if the burden of success is on the shoulders of your client, that's the low value approach. That's the same kind of success they would get building their own website, or the same kind of success they would get telling someone on Upwork what to do. The problem is they can't tell people what to do. Their own mind is limited in terms of what to do. That's why they're trying to hire help, right? So show up and deliver that higher level of success, and you're going to find that you're onboarding long-term, high-value clients who love working with you. You love working with them. And so, and I legitimately believe you could scale that to beyond a six-figure business with a workload you can handle on your own before you even have to begin to consider outsourcing to subcontractors or hiring employees or building out an agency, so to speak, for yourself. You can be making 60 to 120 grand a year doing that principle. And that's going to make you more money than the developer. It's going to obviously make you a lot more money than just an implementer. And not only are you going to be making the money that it's that's required so you can do your best work, you're actually going to be able to drive the results that your clients need. And that's what they're looking for. And the scarcity is people like you. If this is the kind of, if you're the kind of person and you want to drive results for clients and you want to come to the table with leadership and with confidence and with genuine integrity and the fullness of your experience, rather than just a sliver of what you can do, this is what the this is really what your clients actually need. There's I can't even tell you. I talk to business owners all of the time who are desperate to find people that can do that. They don't want people to just build them a website anymore. They want people that can come and say, hey, you know what? Have you thought about, and then lay out a plan? And that makes the that's a huge, there's people everywhere. There's that there's such a hunger in the market right now to avoid kind of getting nickeled and dimed on Upwork, or to try to like stress out over how to, you know, put an RFP together to try to onboard some sort of a consultant or whatever. They really need genuine people like you to really put the structure in place to allow yourself to do the work that they really need. And that's why charging more money for your services is better for everybody. That's why you have to have three things. And the three main things that I can help you achieve if you're interested in this are the technical tools that drive business results, because that's ultimately what your clients need to get the results they're looking for. But I'll also give you the marketing strategies so that you can connect in with these clients in a way that differentiates you from everybody else. And then the third thing, and this is critical, is the business structure to allow you to do your best work. Because if you're just selling a $500 website, you're not allowing yourself the opportunity to actually make a difference for your clients, because you have to race through everything just to keep the lights on. And then you leave them with a website that nobody's exercising. It's just sitting there doing nothing. And that doesn't allow you to do your best work, and it doesn't allow you to get results for your clients, and your clients are now stuck with a deadbeat website. And so give yourself the business structure that enables you to have, you know, enough money to build out the platform up front, which is somewhere between like $3,000 to $10,000 up front for a project fee, and then a retainer on the backside for at least, you know, at least 10 hours per month of your time. And that's going to be, if you're charging $85 an hour, that's going to be $850 per month. And at a retainer at that level is over $10,000 per year at $850 per month. So that's like what? $10,200 at $850 per month. And so now one client is worth about $15,000. And if you think to yourself, oh, well, my clients can't afford that, that's not true. The reason that people are saying they're not affording your $500 sites is because they think if they spend the $500, it's a sunk cost. They'll never get anything back out of it. What I'm talking about doing is making an offer for them that's going to be a no-brainer, because of course, if they were spending whatever you charge to do your work, they'll make more money back from that by working with you. That's what I mean by implementing technical tools with business outcomes. There's really no business outcome to a logo. There's really no business outcome to like content marketing and email marketing and social media management either. If you kind of just stop at the surface saying those are the services that you do, the reason that those have business outcomes is because of the business vision and like how you orchestrate all those things together so that you drive the kinds of results that your clients are looking for. And when you do that, you'll be making more money for them than it costs them to hire you. And that's why they can obviously afford that. And so and if you feel like price point is a really sticky situation for the people that you want to work with, and you know, we can talk about that, because there's absolutely ways to make your services affordable without attracting those cheap clients. And so so if that's something that you're curious about, like how do you do that? How do you make your services affordable without getting those nitpicky, high-stress, cheap clients as all your leads? Well, you can fix that. It can absolutely change the whole landscape with regard to those things. So if any of this stuff kind of rings a bell with you or resonates with you, or you feel like this is the direction you want to go with your business, especially this third concept where you want to be this business consultant who also has the technical chops to pull it all together as well. And you want to kind of develop those tech skills to make those business outcomes happen for your clients. You want to get those marketing strategies to differentiate yourself from everybody else so that you can legitimately charge 5 to 10 times more without pricing yourself out of the market, and you want to figure out how do you get that business structure in place with those retainers. So you know, what do you put in those 10 hours per month or whatever? Let's talk about that. Head over to doublestack.net/call, and we'll talk about these very things. And it's free. It's a 45-minute free consultation, and we'll dive into your business, your clients, the type of work you like to do, all of those things. You know, what is your ideal market? You know, what it like for me, I'm really interested in like health and wellness, chiropractors, naturopaths, dietitians, you know, those types of things really resonate with me. I've had a lot of personal experience kind of ramping up my own diet and exercise and all that stuff and it's made a huge difference in my life. So I've studied about it. I like it. And like, you know what? I'm just not so interested in vaping or whatever. You know, I don't want to build websites for that. You know, I don't like it. But I do like the health stuff. And so the same thing will be true for you. Like, what markets do you really want to dive into? Because that's really going to energize you. If those are the kinds of things you want to talk about, like the tech skills, the marketing strategies, the business structure to allow you to do your best work for your clients while building making that dream job that you've always wanted a reality for you. Let's talk about that. And we'll put a step-by-step plan in place to get you from where you are now to where you're making an extra 5 to 10K per month with regard to your skills. Like, that's kind of the goal, right? Obviously, I have to do the disclaimer. Not everybody's going to make 120 grand just because we have a call or whatever. But the point is, let's put you on a path where that can be the outcome. And ultimately, the results are obviously going to be on you. I can't do it for you, but I can do it with you, right? We can do it together, and you can have your eyes on the goal and trim the fat, for crying out loud too, right? You don't have to, just a quick list. This is longer than a normal conversation, but just a quick list. You don't have to build a huge portfolio website, and you don't have to take on free work to build up your portfolio. You don't have to blog all the time. You don't have to have a podcast. You don't have to do any, you barely even need a website in order to onboard these types of clients. And so you don't have to waste time doing those types of things to get to the point where you're making, you know, $50, $60, $70, $80, $100,000 a year. You can do it within a few weeks. No. Seriously, like, I've legitimately, some of the double stackers have ramped up their rates and their revenue to the point where they're in the six-figure range after a couple of weeks. And so, and the reason that the shift is so profound is because you're combining what your clients really need into a package that makes a difference for them, as opposed to just trying to shove like technical services down people's throats. So anyway, if that's the kind of thing that you're interested in doing, you want to kind of put a plan in place to get this stuff together for yourself, or even if you just want to see if this is really the right fit for you, let's talk about it. Head over to doublestack.net/call. You'll see my calendar. And just pick a time that works for you. And it's legitimately going to be the two of us on the phone together. Nobody else takes my calls for this particular thing. And so and that's where we'll talk about it. And so we can continue on this conversation. There's like 1,000 people here, so I can't do like those one-on-one kinds of conversations in this group because it's too big. And so that's why I offer this call. It's a free session. And what we'll do, we'll put that step-by-step plan together. And, you know, and if you want my help implementing the things that we talk about, you know, we can talk about the double stack program and see if that'd be a good fit for both of us. If not, you just kind of want to, you know, kind of get some clarity and then kind of move on. And it's not a good fit to actually be a double stacker, that's totally cool too. And the whole point of doing this is to really help people get clarity on the direction they want to go with their career and with their business, what kind of outcomes they can expect in terms of revenue, in terms of, you know, what a business looks like based on the types of things they'd like to be doing. So there we go, guys. That's what we got for today. Extra long session, but this is a really, really critical point. And so, and again, it's like, you know, we got the implementer, we got the developer, we got the consultant / technical person. You know, those are the three different approaches. But it's not a linear step-by-step kind of thing where you have to go through all of those steps just to get to the point where you're making six figures. You can do that really, really quickly. And so that's what we can talk about at doublestack.net/call. In the meantime, go ahead and leave some comments over here. I'll keep an eye on that throughout the week. If you want to catch these episodes that we do every week here on Tuesdays, kind of on the go, check out the podcast. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. And if you want kind of reminders about these sessions that we're having, you know, join the email list over at doublestack.net, and I'll zing you an email every time we get together here on these live sessions. Awesome. And I will talk to you guys next week. Take care, guys.